The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills fans. It's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com and the host of Buffalo Rumblings Q&A on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network that you are listening to right now. As always, you can get your Bills questions into us, and we would love to have your Buffalo Bills questions by sending us an email, BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com. You can leave us a voicemail or text message at 716-508-0405. You can tweet us at RumblingsQ&A. That works with spelling and out in the middle. You can also send us Facebook or Instagram messages to the official Buffalo Rumblings accounts, and they will make their way to me via our social media channels. So there are a lot of ways to get in touch with our show now that the Buffalo Bills are back. Training camp has begun at One Bills Drive in Western New York, and for the first time we have questions related to training camp. We've got stadium questions, of course, because the negotiations are underway to build the Bills a brand new stadium somewhere. Who knows where that's going to be? And make sure you take all of those reports with a grain of salt, because anybody who leaks information to the press at this point in time has an agenda, either for or against the stadium or for or against one side of the negotiations. So keep that in mind. But we got a question about that today, so we'll get to that. I wanted to briefly make sure you subscribe to our podcast channel. If you don't already do so, please head out and go do that. We've got a lot of great podcast content coming up now that the season is, roaring back. We've got, 7 or 8 shows a week. We've got a brand new show premiering later this week with Nate Geary from WGR 550, teaming up with Bruce Nolan, who you've heard in our podcast feeds for a really long time, and we're very excited about that. Also, head over to our YouTube channel to subscribe over there. We just passed 1,000 YouTube subscribers, and again, we've got a lot of great content coming over there with the season approaching, so make sure you go and click subscribe over there as well. All of our training camp content is over at the top of BuffaloRumblings.com. It's pinned right to the top of the page there, and you can go and see all of our training camp content, who's winning position battles, and the news about injuries and really everything else that we're allowed to report from Buffalo Bills training camp. Without any further ado, let's get into your questions this week. Over on Twitter, The River Fish asks us, what is plan B if Star does not come back to form? Star being Star Latulele, and we haven't seen yet what kind of football shape he's in, what kind of football form he's in, to the River Fish's question. We've been in only helmets so far in training camp. We haven't really seen that kind of physical contact that you need out of your one tech defensive tackle. So we really don't know if he's going to come back to form. He's looked really good in the pictures and videos we've seen so far. He's been moving well. It doesn't look like he's been hurt by the year off, but obviously we don't know. He's at an age and took a year off where we're just not sure what he's going to look like when everything is for real. I think the Bills have a couple different options here. First of all, they could sign a street free agent, which is what they did last offseason when Starr opted out, they could sign a couple of those one tech defensive tackles to take over, especially after roster cuts come in later this month. You know, they could find someone on the waiver wire to plug and go, but they're not going to get rid of Starr. Starr is locked into them contractually. His salary is fully guaranteed for this year. It just doesn't make sense for them to move on from Starr Lotulelei. So if they need some help, they could always look outside the organization at roster cut time. As far as people on the roster, they could just look at Harrison Phillips, who played a lot of that role last year and did not do a great job of it. It's, I think, an underrated problem with the Bills, or an underrated need that the team had this offseason, was a one-tech defensive tackle. I thought they would add one. They didn't. That's okay. They added, you know, multiple defensive linemen, so they kind of got addressed the same problem, and I'll get to that in a second. But Harrison Phillips has shown up looking really large physically. He looks like he's in great shape. Maybe this is the year that it really clicks for him, and it needs to be. It's the last year of his rookie deal. I've got Harrison Phillips on the outside looking in of the 53-man roster, the final 53-man roster projection that I made. So I'm not necessarily banking on Phillips being the guy that's going to step in if Starr doesn't come back to form, but it's certainly a possibility. I haven't heard anything from any of the folks that are at training camp every single day saying that Harrison Phillips is, you know, taking, you know, the next step in his progression. But again, we haven't seen anybody with pads on yet, so there's always that caveat right now. The other thing that the Bills have done on their defensive line is built a ton of versatility. They play so much nickel defense. They play so much. Our opponents are playing so much three wides and, you know, not really running the ball down your throat type of football, that maybe the one tech defensive tackle isn't as important anymore. And so the Bills have brought in a bunch of guys with positional versatility. They have defensive ends that can kick inside and play more of a penetrating defensive tackle position. So maybe they don't need as much of that. Maybe it's okay to have, say, three defensive ends on your defensive line along with Ed Oliver as your quote-unquote one-tech defensive tackle at that time. So maybe that's the approach that they can take, which is what they did a good chunk of the time last year as well. But if Starr doesn't return to form, he's still going to be on the roster. So it's kind of more about a usage question than it is about a, like, you know, cutting him and replacing him question. So thank you, Riverfish, for asking that over on Twitter. Again, you all can ask us questions on Twitter at RumblingsQ&A with the word "and" spelled out in the middle. Ron from New Mexico asks us, Bean has been quiet this year. That's Bill's general manager, Brandon Bean. A little too quiet, says Ron. What trade is he going to pull off during camp? I don't think he's going to pull off any trades to bring pieces to the Bills during camp. The two places on the roster where I see that they need the most help are at tight end and cornerback. So obviously, if you're talking about a tight end need, you're talking about Zach Ertz and a trade for him. And I don't think the Bills are willing to take on the salary of Zach Ertz. If the Eagles release him, I can see the Bills pursuing him as a free agent, but not as a trade possibility. Even with the injury to Jacob Hollister, but it's considered to be minor, and Hollister will be back before the regular season. So I don't see them pursuing a Zach Ertz trade just because of how high his salary number is. At cornerback, I think the Bills are, you know, pretty happy with the cornerbacks that they have. We'll talk about this in a subsequent question, so I'm not going to get too into it. But the Bills just don't have a ton of cap space to do that. I don't know what position group they would look at and be like, yes, we need a player at this position to get us over the top. They're pretty stacked at the wide receiver position. They've really liked Matt Breida so far at the running back position and what he's been able to bring to the team. You know, they seem pretty deep on the offensive line. You know, I just don't see where they could be adding a piece to the offense outside of the tight end position. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, they They invested heavily in the pass rush over the last two off seasons. They have, you know, pretty good depth at the defensive tackle position. If maybe they can want to trade for, you know, a better one tech defensive tackle than Harrison Phillips, but that wouldn't necessarily be a major trade. At linebacker, they're set there. At, you know, safety, they're certainly set there. So that cornerback two spot is just like the one place that I could see. And they really don't have a ton of depth at that cornerback position as well. So maybe that's a position they could trade for, but I don't think it'll be for a top tier cornerback. It would be for, you know, a mid-level guy for a relatively minuscule draft pick. So I don't see them pulling off a trade to add a piece during this training camp. I think it's more likely that as August wears on, the Bills start sending players elsewhere for draft capital, whether that's a guy on the offensive line or it's maybe even a defensive lineman that they could send somewhere else to get a, you know, a draft pick in return. I think those are what you might be able to see moving forward. So thanks for your question, Ron, over on Twitter at RumblingsQ&A. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We've got two great questions coming up.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, Bills fans. Thanks for sticking around. Kevin on Twitter asks, do you think the Bills will pursue a trade for Xavien Howard? How well would he mesh with the team? No, Kevin, I don't think the Bills will pursue a trade for Xavien Howard. The Bills over and over and over again have proven that they do not value a second cornerback like the fans do, like a lot of other people might. And, you know, even though it's irrelevant if you would be the top cornerback or the second cornerback, Tre'Davious White obviously is a former All-Pro cornerback, so keeping him in that one spot would probably be ideal. But the Bills have proven that they're not going to spend money and assets on a second cornerback. I really wanted them to take a second-round cornerback in 2021. They didn't. I really wanted them to add somebody at that position. They didn't. Instead, they went with, what, seventh round pick Dane Jackson as the main competition for former undrafted free agent Levi Wallace. Like, they're just content at that position. They have Jordan Poyer. They have Micah Hyde. They have Tre'Davious White. They have Matt Milano. They have Tremaine Edmonds. So they've got a lot of good coverage guys in that back seven. So they're okay with, you know, just getting by at that second cornerback position. So I don't think that the drive is there from the Bills to upgrade that second cornerback spot especially with the draft pick compensation that it would take to pry Xavien Howard from the Miami Dolphins. And the Dolphins wouldn't want to trade him within the division anyway. And so the Bills would have to wicked overpay in draft compensation to get Howard. And so the money isn't there for the salary cap hit. The draft pick compensation isn't there for the draft pick. It just doesn't make financial or business sense for them to do that. So for that reason, no, I do not think that they are interested in trading for Xavien Howard. They're going to roll with Tre'Davious White and some combination of Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson this year. And maybe a year from now, they'll add some sort of, you know, mid-round cornerback. Levi Wallace will be a free agent at the end of the year again. So, I mean, maybe it's a year-to-year thing with Levi Wallace and going from there. So thanks for your question, Kevin. It's an intriguing concept. Pat over on Gmail says, can Buffalo just build a stadium with taxpayer money and allow the team to use it? They could recoup the taxpayer money through concerts, other tenants, and food and beverage revenue. At the very least, it could be a counteroffer, which could spark useful pressure in public discourse. Has anything like this ever been done? Well, first of all, Buffalo isn't building the stadium. It's actually the Erie County in New York State. The county owns the current stadium. The county owns KeyBank Center, where the Sabres play. The county owns those facilities. And then they lease it to the team to control. So take a look at KeyBank Center, just because it's the best way to have this conversation right now. The county leases it to Pegula Sports and Entertainment. So all of the concerts that come through there, all the events that come through there, all that's run through Pegula Sports and Entertainment. And so they run the facility to because they lease it. So it already really is built with a stadium built with taxpayer money and allowing the team to use it. But when you sign a lease, say you lease a house or you lease a car, that gives you exclusive rights to that property during that time. You know, it's not like the car dealership can call you up and say, hey, we're going to, you know, use your car for the next week because we want to make some money off of this lease. Or, you know, if you rent a house, it's not like your landlord is going to come in and be like, hey, I'm going to rent this room for the next week during, you know, this big event in your city because I can make more money off of that. That's not what happens. You rent it, or when you lease it exclusively. And that's kind of the same way it works with, you know, these stadium leases. So when the Bills lease the stadium, they are spending money, and hopefully the county and the state are getting enough revenue in return off of those lease payments or the economic benefit generated by the stadium, which, you know, we can have lots of different conversations on, and there's plenty of evidence that there's not a great return on investment for states and local governments on these leases. But, you know, the Bills are leasing it from Erie County, and then they're in control of what happens at that facility until the end of the lease. And so the Bills lease is up in 2023. This next lease will probably go longer than that, especially if they build a new stadium. So it's not really like that. What they could do, especially if they were going to put it in the city of Buffalo, is, you know, the county could put in other investment dollars around the stadium to build up whatever area around the stadium to support other events happening there, near there, or in there. I don't think that that's a huge possibility in Orchard Park. They don't really need to build up Orchard Park, the surrounding parts of Orchard Park, as some sort of, you know, walkable economic driver for the county. I think if you're going to keep it in Orchard Park, you're saying the Bills are the most important thing, and the atmosphere, quote unquote, the tailgating, the, you know, the infrastructure is already in place for getting to and from the games, like that. You're prioritizing all of that over some, you know, economic development that might happen around the stadium. Now, they could build a campus like the New England Patriots did. The Patriots put in a whole bunch of stuff around Gillette Stadium. And of course, Gillette Stadium is in Foxborough, Massachusetts, not Boston. It's not in a major metropolitan area. And so they were able to build up around it. But still, that's all in support of the Patriots and what's happening at that facility. So if the county wanted to do that, that would be fine. I just don't see the benefit to, you know, developing this, you know, massive footprint around a new Bills stadium. I just don't think that the Bills need it. I don't think the county needs it. I don't think Orchard Park needs it. And so it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. The Bills get exclusive use of that facility, and they can, of course, hold concerts there. They can have, you know, additional events there. But that's money that's generated for the team. It doesn't go directly to the county. Again, that's supposed to be included in their, you know, in their lease payments. Like, that's a way for the Bills to make money off of those lease payments. Again, the Bills don't see any revenue from that stuff that happens outside of the facility. So the tailgating, the atmosphere that, you know, Bills fans create, the pagulas, the county, they don't really see revenue from that. So I still think, even right now, after all the reports, that the, you know, if they're just worried about money, if they're just worried about revenue or financial impact, it shouldn't be in Orchard Park. But I understand that there's a lot of different factors at play in that conversation. So, I mean, Orchard Park is just as likely as downtown Buffalo, and maybe more likely than downtown Buffalo at this point. Thanks for all the questions this week. You can send in your questions for next week's episode by calling us at 716-508-0405. You can tweet us at RumblingsQ&A. That's with the word and spelled out in the middle. You can send us text messages or voicemails at 716-508-0405. Facebook and Instagram messages will make their way to me as well using the official Buffalo Rumblings account pages. There are just so many ways to get in touch with the show, and we would love to hear from you, Bills fans, as training camp really gets into full swing. All that stuff can be found, like I said earlier in the podcast, at buffalorumblings.com. Right at the top of the page is all of our training camp content pinned right to the top there, so just head on over and click on that. If you like our podcast today or any of the Buffalo Rumblings podcasts, go tell a friend or post it on your social media that you had a great time listening to the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. Go Bills!